Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody today, and I know we're going to receive a blessing as we worship. Just as a reminder, that we are moving, as long as the numbers allow us, we are moving to mask optional. That's just in case somebody did not get the communication. What I will do is during the service, I will not be wearing my mask, but in consideration with those who may be more comfortable with masks, I will wear my mask outside when I am greeting folks as you leave. Just go according to your comfort level on that regard. As a reminder also, I believe you're probably used to it by now, but as a reminder, your hymns, if I can hold on to them, your hymns are printed, and if there are any refrains on the songs, they are printed on the back page of that particular song. Are there announcements that should be made that were not? If not, it's a joy that the Lord has called His people together, so let us come together and worship His most holy name. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we know that indeed You are with us. So as we gather now, we pray that our hearts and minds are in that place where we receive Your communication to us and You receive our thanksgiving and praise. As we proceed, may this service be pleasing to Your sight and hearing, and may it strengthen Your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our hymn of praise is "He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought." Let's stand as we sing.
This morning, as we go to the Lord in prayer and share our joys and concerns, as always, please refer to the prayer list that's printed in your bulletin. For many of these persons are dear to our hearts, and they're on there because they're dear to somebody in the congregation. And so just every once in a while, please review those. Two, I would highlight this morning that I'm aware of. Do want to remind you that Larry Foster will be having outpatient surgery Thursday to have a combination pacemaker defibrillator placed. And so remember him and his in that procedure. And do want to remember Bill and Becky Casey in a special way. I have learned that Bill is now under hospice care at home. And so remember Bill Casey in a special way. Are there joys or concerns that should be spoken to that we're not? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, first of all, we just want to say, this is the day the Lord has made. We do rejoice and are glad in it. For every day that we wake up is a gift. And Lord, we never want to take that gift lightly. But we want to live life each and every day that you grant us, according to your will, according to your callings. We were told by Jesus that he came not to give us life, that we might have life more abundantly. Lord, as we gather and worship this morning, may we be reminded that that abundant life is life with you. That the closer we are to you, the more abundant life we experience. So gracious Lord, you know each of us in this room. You know our temperaments. You know our lives. We pray that first of all, you would receive our thanksgiving and praise, for we all thank you and praise you and love you and adore you and worship you this morning. And so Lord, you know each of us. May your spirit commune with our spirit, and may you receive that thanksgiving and praise. And Lord, in this time, we all come into this room. Most likely this week has been a mixture of celebrations, a mixture of good times with aggravations and perhaps even heartbreak. And so, Lord, you know each person again. May each person receive that word, that communication, that touch from you that they need to receive, so that they know when they leave this room that they have been in the blessed presence of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that they are loved by him. And whatever the needs of our life may be, you are in the midst of them and you are addressing them. We do thank you this morning, as always, that we're worshiping in the freedom of this moment. And Lord, may we always remember that that freedom is not license to do whatever comes to our mind, but it is the freedom, the opportunity to live life according to your callings. And so, Lord, may we take both the privilege and the responsibility of freedom seriously as the sacred gift that it is. And there are men and women in harm's way, in civilian roles and military roles, protecting that freedom even as we worship. May you protect those who protect us. May your healing be upon the wounded, the very visible wounds of the body and the often unseen wounds of the heart, mind, and soul. And may your peace be upon the families whose loved one made that ultimate sacrifice. And Lord, we do thank you that you know our needs before we ever voice them, but you have invited us to come into your throne room with boldness and to present our requests to you. You know every name on our prayer list. You know those that we have spoken. You know every need before we ever voice it. But we do ask for your healing touch according to your will and your wisdom to be upon each and every person. And we know that you will answer our prayer. We know that you will bring your healing according to your will and your wisdom that is best for each person, because you love them far more than we ever could. And gracious Lord, we do thank you once again for the fellowship of Christians that gathers at Walker United Methodist Church. We thank you for this fellowship through which we worship you, we serve you, we encourage one another, and at times even hold one another up. We thank you for this gift of this family that gathers at Walker. And Lord, when we leave these grounds, we know that you will be with us, but may we be conscious of your presence. Lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed, and bring us back that we will worship you and encourage each other. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of preparation is Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. Let's stand as we sing.
And loving Lord, you have blessed us beyond all measure, and so your people bring back a portion of those gifts back to you. We pray that your blessings continue upon each gift and giver, and that you guide us as a congregation, that every penny that has been entrusted is used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Text in church, but I was afraid it might be a prayer request that I missed, and it was. Sheila Satcher sends a message saying, prayers for my niece in Ohio, Lauren Clark, who is having her first child this week. She will be induced tomorrow. And then she says, see you at the later service. So remember her niece that she will be having labor induced tomorrow for her birth of her child. Our scripture lesson this morning, you could probably repeat by memory the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. little boy was telling his mother the songs he had sung in Sunday school that morning. As he went down the list, he said, "We sang Trust and Okay." Well, this little boy had his lyrics confused, but his belief in God was right on target. Trust and okay. I believe that's one of the major lessons of the 23rd Psalm. We read this psalm in nearly every funeral or memorial service, and it's fitting because the 23rd Psalm provides a sense of peace, reminding us that our trust is grounded in the faithfulness of God. I believe, though, sometimes we forget that this psalm, as comforting it is as it is in those situations, is a song for the living. We're all participants in this world full of stress. And believe it or not, if all the political stuff got straightened out and all of the COVID stuff just magically disappeared, I guarantee you, as a society, we'd find something else to stress over. Amen. We're all participants in a world full of stress. Some of that stress is our own doing. A lot of it is not. But contrast our stress and our worry with the peace and the confidence of the psalmist who sings, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Something tells me that most of us struggle with this dynamic. If we don't, why are there so many stress-related illnesses? If we don't struggle with this dynamic, why do so many people have trouble sleeping outside of physical illness, of course? I'm reminded of a story from the time of Oliver Cromwell. He sent an assistant on an important business trip, and this assistant stayed one night in a seaport town and tossed and turned, unable to sleep. According to an old custom of that time, a servant slept in the same room in case the guest needed anything. And so the servant was sleeping soundly. But you know how it is. Maybe I'm the only one who has to keep this squelched, but if I can't sleep, nobody else is supposed to sleep either. And so finally the assistant was able to toss and turn enough to wake up the steward. And so the servant asked him, says, "Well, what's the matter?" And the assistant said, "I can't sleep." The steward said, "Well, why not?" And the assistant said, "Well, I am so scared. I'm scared to death. Something's going to go wrong with my assignment." And so the steward asked the assistant, said, "Can I ask you a question or two?" The assistant said, "Sure. Go ahead." He said, "Well, did God rule the world before you and I were born?" Which, of course, he said, "Yes, he did." Said, "Is God going to rule the world after you and I are dead?" He said, "Of course he is." And so the steward said, "Well, if God ruled the world before we were born and God's going to rule after we're dead, then why not let him rule now?" Sounds elementary enough. In our mind, we know this. Then again, the way a lot of us fret and fume over a multitude of situations, you would think that we rule instead of God. Notice I keep saying we. As a reminder, I'm always looking in the mirror as I preach. But you would think we rule instead of God. Yet if God rules, why do we fret and worry? "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Are you worried and stressed out? Allow me to ask you a question or two. Did God rule this world before you and I were born? Will God rule this world after you and I are dead? Then why not let God rule now? Well, I believe it comes down to a question of who we trust more. Again, we know what the answer should be. But when it comes to living our lives, what is the real answer? Do we trust ourselves or do we trust God? You've probably never been guilty of this, but there have been times when I've had to check myself or thinking something like, well, God, you're in heaven and I'm right here, so I think I know a little more what's going on with my life. Now, none of y'all have probably ever done that, but I've been guilty a time or two. Do we trust ourselves or do we trust God? Do we trust our loving Heavenly Father? A 3-year-old was safely secure in his father's arms as his dad stood in the middle of the pool. And then dad started walking toward the other end of the pool, and as he did, the water started coming up on the little boy, and the dad kept saying, deeper and deeper and deeper. And as the water came up, the little boy just clung, almost breaking the skin, clinging to his dad in fear and panic. You could see the fear and panic on the little boy's face as the water got higher and higher. Well, some of you may say this was a mean dad, but the dad was touching the bottom the whole time. Matter of fact, the water was the same depth in the whole pool. Father was just bending his knees as he walked from one end to the other. Truth be known, if the dad had let go of the little boy, he would have drowned because the little boy couldn't swim and the entire pool was above the little boy's head. Without the father, the little boy would have surely drowned. The child's safety was dependent upon the father and the little boy was safe in his father's arms the whole time. Are not many of us like the little boy clinging to his father? There's a part of us that trusts the Lord. We know the Lord loves us and we feel that Jesus is going to be faithful in all of life. Yet when we can't see the bottom, or we can't see the other end, when we can't see the bottom and we know we can't swim on our own, life can get scary. Yet is that not the call of faith? When we can't see the bottom and the waters of stress and uncertainty are rising all around us, we trust that Jesus will never let us go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Another scary thing about trusting the Lord is that we relinquish control of our lives to Him. It's easy for me to trust as long as I'm in control. Did you hear that? If I'm in control, I'm not trusting God, am I? I'm one of the 2 or 3 people my age that has never flown on a commercial. Well, I've never flown, period. And honestly, I will not. Unless and until I have to. Now, I have learned never say never and never say always. But as it stands now, you will not find me on an airplane. Now, part of my fear of flying is that the odds of surviving a crash are not all that great. But I have a bigger fear. If I get on an airplane, I have got to trust that those mechanics have kept the plane in working order. I've got to trust that the pilot knows what they're doing. I've got to trust that the air traffic controllers know what they're doing. Now, before you debate with me in your mind, I know the statistics. I know the statistics are that I have a far greater chance of getting killed in a car wreck than I do on an airplane. Okay, I give you that. I know that. But I know who took care of my car. I know the condition of my tires. I know the condition of my engine. I know how my car works. And if there is a situation, I may not survive it, but I've at least got a chance to respond to it. In other words, on that airplane, I would not be in control. In my car, I feel like I'm in control. Unless Sally's driving, then I trust her. If I ever fly, I'm probably going to be more like the gentleman that was taken for a plane ride on a small, like Cessna plane or something, for his 75th birthday. He had lived all of his life in a little town in West Virginia, and he had never flown. And so an acquaintance who loved flying offered to take him up in his little private plane and fly him over the town. And so he agreed. And so they took this ride, and it took about 20 minutes, and then they came in for the landing, and everything was okay. And when he was back on the ground, a friend asked him, says, "Well, were you afraid, Uncle Dudley?" And he answered, "No, but I never did put my full weight down." I don't blame Uncle Dudley one little bit. Yet, he didn't get the fun of the experience that he could have because he never fully trusted the pilot or the plane. So it is with our relationship with God. We may experience God's love. We may know God's forgiveness. We may know that if we don't make it out of this service because we've had a heart attack or whatever, we know we're going to heaven. We may even experience the joy of having served the Lord and know that God has used us for some good in God's kingdom. Yet the joy and the peace described in the 23rd Psalm comes only when we put our full weight down. The joy and the peace of the 23rd Psalm only comes as we are able to totally trust our Heavenly Father to fly this plane of our lives with our full weight down, with our full lives entrusted to Him. Of course, if we're going to put our full weight down, we have to trust that God is big enough to handle our problems better than we are. So consider this. There's a little children's book entitled, "Is a Blue Whale the Biggest Thing There Is?" And Robert Wells takes this from the size of something we can grasp to the size of something we can't. So he says, "The largest animal on earth is the blue whale. Just the flippers on its tail are bigger than most animals on earth. But a blue whale isn't anywhere near as big as a mountain. If you took 100 blue whales in a huge jar, you could put millions of whale jars inside a hollowed out Mount Everest. But Mount Everest isn't anywhere near as big as the earth. If you stacked 100 Mount Everest on top of one another, it would just be a whisker on the face of the earth. And the earth isn't anywhere near as big as the sun. You could fit 1,000,000 earths inside the sun. But the sun, which is a medium-sized star, isn't anywhere near as big as a red supergiant star called Antares. 50 million of our suns could fit inside Antares. But Antares isn't anywhere near as big as the Milky Way. Billions of stars, including superstars like Antares, as well as countless comets and asteroids, make up the Milky Way. But the Milky Way isn't anywhere near as big as the universe. There are billions of other galaxies in the universe. And yet, filled with billions of galaxies, the universe is almost totally empty. The distances from one galaxy to another are beyond our imagination. Now, all of that may be interesting trivia. But what does that have to do with anything? Well, if God is big enough to create this vast universe, and scientists are now telling us that there are even other universe systems out there, if God is able to create this vast universe and any others that may exist by saying a word, does it not stand to reason that this awesome big God whom we serve and who loves us is better equipped to deal with the situations of our lives than us? If Jesus, who was God in the flesh, died on the cross, does it not seem reasonable that God will care for the needs of our lives in all respects? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, help us to take to heart what we know in our minds. Help us to internalize that which we already know. So that, Lord, we not only know that You are the God of all that exists, and yet You love each one of us as if nothing else exists. That You know everything that was ever before. You know all the nuances of what's going on now, and You know the future. So, gracious Lord, show us how to put our full weight down. For, Lord, You know us human beings. It is so easy to get caught in the fear and the stress in the worry of what we see, because that's what we see. And Lord, even though in our minds we know You are in it all, we can't physically see You. And sometimes that keeps our hearts from seeing You. So Lord, help our hearts to never, ever lose sight of You. And help us in some way, according to the needs of each of our hearts, to totally trust in You. For You are our shepherd, and we never shall want. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our final hymn is Only Trust Him. Let's stand as we sing.